Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Welcome in, everybody, to this special edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Always glad that you are with me. Don't forget, by the way, if you are watching on YouTube, and you have not subscribed already, do me a favor, pull out your phone and subscribe to the podcast feed, the audio podcast feed. You'd be doing me a big favor if you do that. Wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, wherever, it is available. Pull out your phone, subscribe right now in your favorite podcast app to this very podcast. I would appreciate that very much. Here is your Miami preview. Ole Miss, Miami, Fiesta Bowl, Thursday. There's an actual football game going on. I was joined by my good buddy Lee Sterling, who is a Miami guy. He's from Miami. Gave a good breakdown that you'll hear here in just a second. You'll hear that in just a second, and hope you guys enjoy that conversation. But first, I want to again invite you to subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. Please do that. I would really appreciate that. And this edition is brought to you by Logan Smith at Shelter Insurance. Home, auto, life, business. He will take care of you. If you live in Mississippi, his service area is the borders of our great state. Wherever you are in Mississippi, if you need auto insurance, home insurance, life insurance, or for your business, check him out. Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance, 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500. He will also just show up on Google. If you just remember Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance, he will take care of you. Glad to have him on with us this year on the podcast. Also, Priority One Bank, 16 locations in Mississippi, very likely to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority. They make me their priority. They make you their priority. They will do that with local loan servicing, somebody that you'll build a relationship with because they'll be right there with you face-to-face. Their online banking platform is outstanding. Check them out at Priority One Bank and Advantage Business Systems. ABSMS.com is the website for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. All right, here it is, my conversation with Lee. That will end the podcast as well. So enjoy it, and I will talk to you guys after the game on Thursday. We now welcome on our good friend Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. Also does a podcast as well. Is it Locked On Bets, Lee, is what the podcast is?
Yeah, it's Locked On Bets. It's every day. If you go to YouTube and click on, just type in Locked On Bets, it'll come up first. And if you, I'd appreciate it, everyone, if you'd like and subscribe. It's every day, Monday through Friday. And this week, it's so big. I think tomorrow we're going to have two episodes. They're usually just 15 minutes long. So you'll get three, sometimes four bets with my co-host, Kevin Rogers. And he's been a national guy, a local guy, and really understands it. He sold picks on Vegas Insider, was also a local sports talk show host here in Miami. And it's really fast-paced. We do our best job for you, three to four plays every day, usually released about no later than 9:30 in the morning Central. And then, well, like I said, once in a while, especially football-heavy weekends, we'll release two episodes. I also do some shorts, too, for NBA, college basketball, and football. Those are just a minute long.
So we would have Lee on this week anyway, because we have him on every week during the season to pick games with us. But this is a little bit different because he's located right there in Miami. So who better to talk about Miami in the run that they've made than Lee Sterling, who is sitting currently in Miami and watches the Hurricanes as close as anybody in the country. So just starting with Miami, just in general, are you surprised that they have gotten to this point?
Okay, so I know Miami really well. Here's some, I don't know if we've ever spoken about this. So my father was the team dentist for 25 years, starting in the early 70s all the way going through almost the late 90s. So I've been around the program, understand kind of how it's set up, and I know the coaches all pretty well. My daughter was a cheerleader, graduated I think 6-7 years ago. And I got my master's from Miami. So a lot of history there. I used to work out in college, even though I played at Southwest Texas State, now Texas State. And I study them pretty well. And I've gone against them a lot since that loss when they lost to Ohio State in 2003. It was heartbreaking. So I did think that they were going to be Texas A&M. Thought they matched up well with Texas A&M. And I actually thought they were kind of hindered a little bit by the wind. It was 30 to 40 mile an hour crosswinds through about almost mid third quarter. It was crazy how strong the winds were. Miami even missed three field goals. So I thought Miami would win that game. I said to my wife, what's funny was I said, let's book a trip because we were there for the heartbreak and Miami's program has been on the decline or kind of a mediocre to just a little above mediocre plateau for the last 20 plus years. And I said, you know what? Because we went through that heartache, seeing them lose to Ohio State, if they beat A&M, I want to be there if we're playing Ohio State just by the small chance we have of winning. So we booked it that morning, the morning of A&M, put it on a 24-hour hold, and we won. We decided we're going. My wife's a good sport. I did predict that they'd win the game 23-20. I thought because not that they were the better team, there were UM X players that were there all week long. I thought that they were going to be so sky high that I thought that they were going to be leading the game and probably have to hold on. I think Ohio State's receivers were incredible and just think that the matchup favored Miami. Now, totally different matchup here. I mean, different offense here. Ole Miss is going to run hurry up. Miami, they take their time snapping the ball here. They're usually the last 2, 3, 4 seconds. So different type of matchup. And both teams are coming off maybe their – would you agree it was their best game?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. I would say – if it wasn't Miami's best game, maybe Pitt was two games before that. I think here are the matchups as far as Miami attacking the Ole Miss defense here. I think Miami is going to throw the ball a lot more than they did in the last couple games. First game because they had to run because of the wind. And I just think that they wanted to keep close and they think that they thought they could run the ball in Ohio State. Carson Beck releases the ball really quick, an average of 2.35 seconds, and he's the quickest of all four quarterbacks. I think that Chambliss is the second, right around 2.5. I think they're going to do a bunch of wide receiver screens in the game. I think that the guy they want to stay away from is Wydette Williams. Great anticipation. I think the two guys that they will target is Kapenya Gushigan and also Jalen Braxton, who once in a while will hold some defenders, receivers. All cornerbacks do at time, and Miami's cornerbacks do also. I think those are the guys that they're going to target here. I think Ole Miss is going to rush three and drop eight a lot of times, and then they will also, I expect them to blitz and stunt in third and long situations here with their defensive line. And Ole Miss's defense, they like to plug a linebacker on first down to stop the run. So if you see Miami going play action on first down over the middle, probably from reading and watching tape, that might be the way they go. The linebacker I think that they will target in the run game is TJ Dottery, veteran pass protection. I think he's the guy they're going to try to run at. So I think that this Miami's offense, if you look at what they produced as far as points against A&M 10 and also just 24 against Ohio State, 14 of it was on – oh, sorry, 17 was on offense. 7 was the pick 6. I think that they're going to be much more wide open here in this game because I think that they feel – that Ole Miss is probably going to score on them more than the other two offenses here. And I think that's their best point of attack. So I think it's going to be fun. I'm trying to, you know, give your listeners and your followers who are watching us some of the ways that I think through watching the last three games in Miami and Ole Miss and how they're going to attack them. So it's going to be an interesting chess game. And you know, does Miami throw on first down some play action up the middle? If they do, I think they'll have some success. If they just try to pound the ball. I think it's going to be tough unless they can, like I said, really target T.J. Dottery. And then in the pass game, they're going to try to target Gushkin and also Braxton. Those are the weakest links here. And I don't know if the defense of, I would say, of the four units, Miami's offense and defense, Ole Miss's offense and defense, I would say that the Ole Miss defense might be the weakest link. So Miami realizes they need to score. Anything that you see and want to add?
Yeah, 2 months ago, Ole Miss, especially against the run, they had coverage busts in the back end, and they were not physical enough against the run, and that has steadily improved. They've gotten after the quarterback better, but run defense in particular in the Georgia game, William Echols and Xavier Harris were dominant in the second half against Georgia. I think it was 8 carries for 13 yards Georgia had, and on the show yesterday, I said that the best players for Ole Miss in this game have to be those two again, because I do think Miami is going to try to run right at them and kind of test their manhood. Georgia did it in the first half. Yeah. They had a long touchdown drive where it was just like 8 yard run, 10 yard run, 8 yard run, right down Ole Miss's throat. And then Ole Miss adjusted and physically matched Georgia for the rest of the game and stopped the run game. And that's when you saw them able to get stops and things like that. Those two guys are so important for Ole Miss in this game, interior.
Something I noticed also was interesting. Just shows you how games play. I think that the rematch, I think Miami getting up for playing Ohio State, trying to get redemption for 23 years, and that the way that game, that national championship ended, and also Ole Miss trying to get, you know, revenge for losing earlier in the year. What was interesting watching the game earlier in the season, I thought that Ole Miss's play calling in the first part, in the whole third quarter, I thought they were very conservative. I thought that they stopped attacking in that first game. And it actually turned around, and Georgia and Mike Bobo, the first three possessions of the third quarter, I thought his play calling was terrible. So it was interesting how that absolutely flipped. And it was interesting to watch those dynamics. So I think that a combination, Ole Miss's great play by the defense in the second half, obviously Chambliss's great play, and then also Mike Bobo just absolutely they used to gripe about him all the time, Georgia fans. Then I think the last four or five games, I think they liked the way he was calling games, and then he reverted to form again. Mm-hmm. Second half.
The Carson Beck thing, the getting the ball out of his hand fast, is interesting to me because Ole Miss's offense is so, and we'll get to the flip side here in just a second, but Ole Miss's offense, by and large, now they'll take deep shots and they run the football really well, but it's a lot of quick passing. It's a quick passing game. So to hear Miami getting the ball out of Beck's hands fast is interesting. But it shouldn't be surprising if you look at, like, the advanced stats. Miami, not an explosive offense. That's not how they beat people. They run the football and just kind of dink and dunk their way down the field. Is that something that Miami should be concerned about? That if you can pressure Carson Beck, he does turn it over, but Miami's not really allowing for that to be the case very often. And, I mean, you've seen him a couple of times this year. Ole Miss fans that watched the Georgia game last year, you pressure him, he'll turn it over. Yeah. It kind of sounds like they're not letting him be pressured.
In his one real bad game against Louisville, what's interesting, Louisville had 2 weeks to prepare for that game. Their offensive game plan, they ran 20 to 25 plays they had never shown on film at all, which was interesting. They're obviously, their coaching staff, very skilled at that, and they never even came close to that the rest of the season. And then Beck, they showed him some looks he had not seen also. So you got to show him some different looks. You got to show like you're blitzing and back out of it sometimes and not show anything and blitz him. The problem with blitzing him, that offensive line is by far the best. Even when Miami was really good in the 80s and 2001, 2002 teams, their lines weren't great. I mean, they had Bryant McKinney and they were good in pass blocking. But other than that, they really had no other guys that went on and did anything. They are massive, massive. And if they play their game, what they do is these these short passes, these flanker screens, they can turn them into big plays. And also Fletcher, especially in the last three, four games, has broken on off some real big runs. So they don't throw the ball all long often. They haven't hit on any big plays the last two games, but they can turn some of those runs up the middle and also the flanker screens and some quick hitting, you know, even some slants into some big plays sometimes.
On the flip side, this is an Ole Miss offense that's incredibly balanced. They've got quality receivers at every spot. They've got really good tight end play. They've got an elite running back and a quarterback that is a magician. That Miami defense, you know this. Everybody watching and listening to this knows this. They get after the quarterback better than basically anybody in college football. So how do you think Ole Miss is going to attack them, and how do you think Miami's going to try to stop this balanced Ole Miss offense?
Well, as good as Miami was, even in their heyday, those two runs, probably maybe like when they had Jerome Brown and Daniel Stubbs, maybe like in the 86, 87, 88, this defensive line and front seven probably resembles that most. Here are some crazy numbers. I don't think that even the biggest Miami fans dream this. In the two playoff games against A&M and Ohio State, they had 12 sacks, 50 pressures, not 5 or 15, 50 pressures and 16 tackles for loss in those two games. What they do is those defensive ends, Bain and Messidor, they play that 7 technique where they line up really wide. What's surprising is usually guys that line up wide, teams can run in between the defensive tackles and those guys. They set the edge really well. And then sometimes on third down, they will bring in this kid, Marquise Lightfoot. He's come on. He's a sophomore, number 12. Don't see many defensive linemen, number 12. They'll put him in, and they will move Bain or Messidor sometimes inside. Bain is just so compact that he can play defensive tackle to get their best pass rushers on the field. So the numbers are off the charts for Miami's defense. The key is you don't want to run side to side. So Lacy, if he's smart, he goes through the hole, and then once he gets through the hole, then you can bounce it out, go a step or two, and then break it up, and then go down the sidelines. That's where he'll have success. Just running like sweeps, things like that, or if Chambliss tries to scramble like Reed did and run side to side, Miami is – those defensive linemen are so quick, and those linebackers, they're probably going to tackle you, but – if he runs straight up the gut, he will be able to have some decent gains. Now, I think the two guys that they're going to want to target here are Muhammad Toure, who's played great the last two games, one of their inside linebackers, number one. In coverage, you can run some crossing patterns here, and sometimes he gets confused and he has trouble picking up what's going on quickly. Played out of his mind the last two games, but he has had a tendency to not pick up crossing routes, and sometimes in play action you can get them. Also in the seam, I think the tight end and also some of these receivers can get behind the linebackers on first and second down and have some success. Third and long, maybe not so much. Both teams are going to be successful, I think, third and long and being able to limit both quarterbacks. But I would do that. The guy I would run against is – their other linebacker, and it's Wesley Bassant, number 31. So, number one, you want to target more in the passing game, and Bassant more in the running game. He's light. He's probably 210, 215 tops. You want to run right at him. He's very quick. Like I said, if you run side to side, he makes good tackles in the open space, but running right at him is probably the way to go. And both cornerbacks, they really play about 7 guys. Now, they'll be as healthy as they've been the entire season, which is crazy. The two guys that got injured, Moten and also Frederick in the last game, Frederick was actually carted off and during the ceremony after he was on a cart watching. They both practice and looks like they're going to play. They have every single starter and backup available to them since the start of the season, which is crazy given this late in the season, but that's the case. You want to throw balls down the field on both cornerbacks. I will say the biggest key to the game is how do the officials call the game? if they allow them to play the Miami game, I don't know if you realize this, Michael, the fourth quarter with like 8 minutes to go in the game, there was not a penalty called on either team. They were letting them play. If they allow this game to be called like that, and also I think the Ole Miss game, wasn't there like,
yeah, the Sugar Bowl was a very it's unbelievable, Lee. The Sugar Bowl for three quarters was very loosely called, and I liked that, actually. They let the guys be physical. There was contact. There was other things. And then suddenly the fourth quarter comes, and it's every bit of contact. We're just throwing flags everywhere. Yeah. But I liked the way it was officiated until the fourth quarter came.
Yeah, if that happens, I think it favors Ole Miss. Because that defensive line, they're able to, let's be honest, offensive linemen hold. You could call almost something on every play. There was probably five or six times they could have called holding on Ohio State, and they didn't. There was some blatant stuff where, you know, guys had hooked the arm and were right next to the quarterback. And also, I thought there were some times during the game that they could have called Ole Miss, but they let the offensive line play. So if that happens, I think it does favor Ole Miss. So looking at the game, it would not shock me if either team wins the game by double digits. I wouldn't be floored. I thought the Miami game was going to be close. I thought that the Georgia Ole Miss game was going to be close to single digits either way. If I had to make a pick, I would say I think Miami's going to win this game 30-23. That three and a hook is really tough, you know. Mm-hmm. You could have, let's say Miami's up by 8-10 points and Ole Miss is driving and scores a touchdown, makes it a 2-3-point game and Ole Miss covers. That could be the case. That's the way, if I had to totally guess the way it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But it wouldn't shock me if Ole Miss wins. Miami, you know, was so sky high also, like Ole Miss was beating Georgia in their win against Ohio State. It was like they had almost won the national title. Also, so it's fun. I think it's great that we have new blood. Being a Miami fan, I'm glad that we don't have to see Georgia again. Alabama still in the playoffs, and also Ohio State. So it's fun. Even with Oregon and Indiana, we're going to see some new blood and some fun and exciting teams.
Lee, you're the best. Thank you so much for your time as always. And are you going?
I am not going. I was there last week in Dallas. I was there, but I will be there in Miami either way. I'll be going to the game, and if Ole Miss wins, I will be at the game, and
we'll see you there.
I'll join a couple tailgates. Anyone wants, I'll be obviously rooting for Ole Miss also. So one of my good friends, his son is a freshman there, and actually, I think Jet Miller, I think it's like the fourth or fifth string quarterback, his number 12, his dad's older brother played with me in baseball and football growing up. So he's from Atlanta. So certainly rooting, should be a fun game. I'm excited for it. And, you know, finally, Miami's program is, I think, back either way, whether they win or lose. And I think Ole Miss, it's a great story doing this without Lane Kiffin, who I always told people, a little bit overrated.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com is the website. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.